word. This is the word of our God. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place. Already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Banquets are a time of great joy and delight, aren't they? There are all sorts of banquets that we celebrate. Thanksgiving banquets, Christmas banquets, weddings, graduations, award banquets. I'm sure you can think of many, many more or many different types of banquets. Family celebration banquets, where you have the family get together and have a feast with them. And what do you usually do at a banquet? Usually there's a lot of good food and fellowship and fun, even entertainment. Banquets are a time for rejoicing and celebrating with friends and families and acquaintances. Do you look forward to going to a banquet? And do you look forward to the food and the fun and the fellowship that you anticipate you're going to experience at the banquet? But have you ever attended a banquet without knowing that you are going to a banquet? In our text today, Jesus prepares a banquet for over 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. And they had absolutely no idea that they were going to this banquet feast. We continue our look in the Gospel of Mark, and we find ourselves right at that point in Jesus' ministry where he had sent the disciples out. He had sent them out to preach the gospel, to preach repentance to the people. And we're told that that's exactly what the disciples did, and that they also anointed men and women who were sick with oil, and they were healed. The disciples had come back to Jesus to give a report to him. Our text today is the feeding of the 5,000. And in this text, we we get a summary of the ministry of the apostles and a preview of the banquet that Jesus is preparing for his people. The last time we looked at this passage, we looked at the Gospel of Mark. You saw that Herod had indeed killed John the Baptist. And because Jesus and the disciples were going throughout Galilee and the disciples were preaching a repentance of faith, Jesus became well known, and Herod began to wonder and question, who is this Jesus? It was the same question that everybody was asking, who is this Jesus? And Herod's response was, this is John the Baptist, whom I have beheaded. You saw last time that the righteous will suffer and be mistreated at the hands of wicked men. For John the Baptist had done indeed nothing wrong. He had simply proclaimed God's word. And he told Herod time and time again, the fact that he had taken Herodias, his brother's wife, to be his own wife, was a sin. And so John was killed. He was put to death. And it is after this account that the disciples come back and give their report to Jesus. I want to show you by God's grace that Jesus cares for the spiritual and physical well-being of his people. Jesus cares for this physical and spiritual well-being of his people. You'll see Jesus' spiritual provisions for his people and Jesus' physical provisions for his people. Notice, first of all, his spiritual provisions. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things both which they had done and what they had taught. As you know, they had been sent out by Jesus with a very specific task. They had been tasked with the responsibility to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus tells them in verse chapter 6, he says, in whatever place you go, stay till you depart. Whoever receives you and will not hear you, depart from them. Shake off the dust as a testimony against them. And so the disciples went out and preached that the people should repent. They had a very specific message that they were to take to the people. It was the same message that John the Baptist had been taking as the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the same message that Jesus himself was preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To repent is to turn from your sin, to turn from the path in which you are going, and to go in the opposite direction. To repent means you turn from something to something else. The disciples had this message. You are to turn from the kingdom of this world, from placing your hopes and your thoughts and your affections on the things of this life, and instead to do a 180 degrees and fix your attention on the kingdom of God, on the things of God, on the will of God for your life. And so this is the message that the apostles were tasked to proclaim to the people. And they did so. And they gathered to Jesus. It seems that they had an appointed day in which they were to return to Jesus and to give to him a report. And we're told that the apostles gathered. This is the first and only time, maybe once in Mark chapter 3, that the disciples are referred to as apostles. Now, you know what apostles are, and it's become a technical term to refer to those 12 men whom Jesus sent to establish the church after his crucifixion, his death, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven. But you see, it fits here as well. For what had Jesus done? What had he told the disciples to do? He had sent them away. And so the ones whom he had sent away gathered back, came back to Jesus and reported to him. And they reported to him all the things that they had done and that they had taught. You can get the sense of excitement of the disciples. They come back to Jesus and they say, Lord, this is what we did. You know, we went to this city and we taught them these things, and the people responded. They heard the gospel message, and you know, it seems that they repented of their sin. And what's more, we took some oil, and we anointed the people with oil, and they were healed of their diseases. Lord, it was wonderful to see you work and you at work in the people in and through our ministry. And they were so excited that they told Jesus what they had done and what they had taught. It was a wonderful way for the disciples to report to Jesus all of the great things that God had been doing in the midst of the people. And so Jesus says to the disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For Jesus recognizes that though they were excited, the disciples also had grown weary. It was no easy task for them to go from place to place with no food, no money, no extra cloak to wear, and to be dependent completely upon the people. And then to be teaching day in and day out, and to be performing those miracles by the work of God through them, they had grown weary and tired. And so Jesus says, come away, come to a deserted place. And that deserted place that Jesus had in mind was outside of Bethsaida. If you can picture the Sea of Galilee, it was in the northeastern part of the Sea of Galilee. It's a deserted region there. It's a lonely place. It's a dry place. Not too many people are living in that area. And Jesus says, let's go aside for a while. You've been busy. You need some rest. But it was not only that the disciples were tired from the work that they had done, but they were getting no rest. Even as they were making their report to Jesus, the people were coming and going. He says, for they were coming and going. There were many coming and going, and they did not have even time to eat. They were so busy. People were coming to Jesus just in waves. They were coming and going, coming and going. And just when the crowd seemed to be thinning out a little bit, and the disciples and Jesus thought, well, maybe we'll have an opportunity to take a bite of bread, another wave of people came, and they couldn't eat. And Jesus continued to teach and to minister to these people. And so he recognized that they needed to depart for a while. And so they departed. They step into a boat by themselves. We're not sure at what time it was. It says, so they departed to the deserted place into a boat by themselves. We're not sure what time they left. It was probably early in the morning. It would seem that if it was a very busy time and people were coming and going, it would be hard for Jesus and his disciples to sneak away in the midday or even in the evening. But in the early morning, when people were gone, they could get up and they could walk through the streets of Capernaum quietly to the seashore and step into the boat. But alas, they were unable to sneak away, for they were recognized. The multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all of the cities. As Jesus was stepping into the boat, somebody was walking down the street and they saw Jesus. Jesus was so well known that he was instantly recognizable. And as they pushed away from the shore, they saw that there were the 12 disciples in the boat with Jesus. And they began to call and say, hey, he's leaving. And they were watching Jesus. And they looked at the boat and they were watching in the direction in which it was heading. And they saw that he was going to that deserted place near Bethsaida on the northeastern shore, probably about 10 miles from where they were. And they ran there ahead of them on foot. They ran quickly. You see, it is important that those who are engaged in the ministry, whether that be pastoral ministry or educational ministry, that they have times of rest. You see, we're not superhumans. We need refreshment, time to be recharged. Even the change from the regular routine is a time of rest for God's people. But this points not just to the fact that those who are in the ministry need a time for rest, but all God's people need a time of rest, need a time to rest from their labors, a time to rest from their daily regular activities. And it's why the Lord God gave to us the Sabbath day. We read in the Ten Commandments that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your ox, your cattle, or anything that is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God has given to you and to me a day of rest, 1 day in seven, in which we can rest from our labors. Do we rest from our labors? Really? Do we dedicate that day to the things of the Lord? Or is our Sunday merely a day in which we do our duty? We go to church and then we can pick up and continue on our regular tasks, whatever those tasks might be. You see, the people of God need regular rest. And Jesus himself recognizes that and establishes that for his people. But there was no rest to be had for Jesus and his disciples. For the people had followed him. They knew who he was. They knew where he was going. And they ran there ahead of him on foot. And as they were running, the people from the cities that they passed were saying, "Hey, where are you going?" And they responded, "We're going to Jesus. Jesus is in that boat over there, and he's going over to that deserted place. Come, join us." And so more people would come and join. And soon there was this throng of people that were gathering together at the seashore. You can picture it, can't you? Imagine being in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and you see the hills are alive, just like an ant pile is alive with ants moving all around, scurrying all around. The hills are alive with all of these people, and they're all gathering, and they're moving to this place where Jesus and his disciples are, and they arrive. These people are so eager to be with Jesus. They're so desperate to meet him. They so recognize their need for what Jesus has to offer that they get there ahead of him. Do you recognize your need for Jesus? Are you as eager to be with Jesus as these people were? Are you as eager to spend your time in the Word of God as they were to listen to the Word of God? You and I, we must confess that far too often we are less than eager to spend time with our Lord. We're less than eager to open our Word and to read the Scriptures and then to pray. We tend to think, what good does it do anyway? But brothers and sisters, if you are to spend time with Jesus, you must spend time in his Word. You must spend time with him in prayer. Be eager as these people were to be with Jesus. You see, these people had an eagerness to be with Jesus that simply isn't found in many today. Is it because many do not recognize Jesus for who he really is? Or is it because they do not see their need? There are indeed many who are willfully blind to their need of Jesus. They avoid Jesus. They disparage him. And I pray that if you do not know Jesus, that you will recognize your desperate need today, that you will be as eager as these people were to be with Jesus. Sadly, these people had an eagerness that is missing in many in the church today, isn't it? We can take an example from these people. Far too often, the church takes Christ for granted, takes his work for granted, that salvation that he has purchased by his death upon the cross, and say, "Oh, yeah, Jesus did that for me. Praise the Lord." And then move on with our regular activities. No, you must be gripped by that amazing grace that God has shown to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are gripped by that grace, then you will be eager to spend your time with the Lord. And what was Jesus' response to these eager people? When he saw these people, we're told he was moved with compassion for them. When he came out of the boat, when he saw the crowds running to him, he moved himself and the disciples up onto the hill there, and he sat down and he waited for the people to gather. And he looked at the people and he saw them coming from all of the villages all around. They were eager, they were running, and more were coming and more were coming. It was as if there was no end of people coming. And he was moved with compassion. That word compassion means with, to suffer with or to suffer along. Jesus felt sympathy for these people. There was a deep awareness of their need. Even if these people did not recognize their own need, Jesus did. And he was moved with sympathy, with a desire to relieve it from them. And so he was moved with compassion because he saw them as a people like sheep without a shepherd. Remember that image of the people running along the hillsides and scurrying along? Well, what would the people in Jesus' days have seen? They would have seen the hillsides dotted with sheep. But of course, with every sheep, there was a shepherd. And when the shepherd spoke, the sheep would follow. And they would go from one grazing place to the next grazing place. But here, all of these people were running to Jesus. There was no one leading them. They were coming from the left and the right. They were coming from the north and from the south and from the east, from the west. They were coming from all directions, as if there was no one leading them. There was no one to guide and to direct them. You know also that sheep are, they're defenseless. They require protection. They require leading. A sheep cannot fend for itself. It requires someone to protect it, the shepherd. But these were people who were sheep without a shepherd. They were defenseless. There was no one to protect them. There was no one to lead them. There was no one to guide them. This statement of Jesus is an indictment on the religious leaders of his day. They were to lead and feed and protect God's people, but they weren't. Instead, they were casting burdens upon people, but refusing to help them bear it. They were more concerned about political power. They were concerned about their place and their position and their privilege and their status. And they did not point the people to God. They did not even recognize that when Jesus came, he was the promised one. The Jews today still do not recognize that Jesus is the promised one. For remember what happened after Jesus was raised from the dead? What did the religious leaders tell the guards at the tomb? You tell them that the disciples came and stole them away, and that if there is any problems, we'll take care of it for you. And that lie was still believed even by the Jews today. For you see, they did not know the Word of God. Oh, they knew about the Word of God. They studied the Word of God, but they refused to believe the Word of God and that Christ had come to fulfill it. And so it's an important reminder for the leaders in the church to guide believers in the spiritual growth and maturity. It's important for fathers, it's important for you fathers to lead your families in the way of the Lord. It's important for you teachers to direct your students in the paths of righteousness. You see, our society is desperately in need of men and women who are faithful witnesses to Christ. Desperately in need of a church who proclaims the whole counsel of God. Desperately in need of a body of believers that delights to do all God's holy will. Does that describe you? Does that describe us as a body of believers? So Jesus was moved with compassion. We're told he began to teach them many things. And so he taught them. Instead of sending them away, say, go back. No, this is time for our retreat. This is me and the disciples' time. It's my time and not your time. Go away. No, he doesn't do that. He sets aside his own personal needs and he begins to shepherd the people. He begins to teach them of their need of the Savior. He begins to open up the scriptures for them. He does the very thing that the religious leaders had not done and were not doing. And the people were hungry for the truth. There was a great desire to know and understand the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus. And so he taught them many things, not just one particular topic or two topics, but he taught the whole gamut of doctrine, of teaching that he ought to teach. It's almost as if Jesus picked up right where he'd left off in Capernaum before they had sought to find this private place. You see, Jesus cares for the spiritual and physical well-being of his people. You've seen the spiritual provisions that he has provided, but notice also the physical provisions. The disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, "It is getting late. When the day was far spent, his disciples came and said, 'This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread to eat, for they have nothing to eat.'" The disciples were very concerned. You see, they were supposed to be spending this time with Jesus in this retreat, but now it was getting close to the end of the day. The day was far spent. Literally, the time was becoming great. Before long, it would be dark, and the people would have to stumble their way back home in through the dark. And so they say, and it makes sense, send the people away. Let them go, dismiss them, so that they can get something to eat. You see, we're in a deserted place. There's no food here. I've heard of signs, I haven't yet seen them, but I've heard of signs that say something like, get gas now. This is the last station for 200 miles. And if you don't get gas, you're going to be stuck in the middle of the desert somewhere. It's that sort of place. There was no grocery stores. There was no place for them to get food. It was getting late. If there was food, soon those who might be willing to give them would be going to bed. They have nothing to eat. Well, why did the people have nothing to eat? Well, they had gathered together in haste. That as they ran, they heard that Jesus was there. They just dropped what they were doing and ran. You know, sometimes when we as a family want to go hiking or something like that, I get a little bit frustrated. And I get a little bit frustrated because we've got to get, well, we can't go just yet and pick up our things, pick up our hiking poles and put on our hiking boots and go, because we've got to get our water. You got to get all the waters ready. And then we got to get a snack ready. And then we got to do all sorts of things in order to get ready, so that by the time you actually get going, it's an hour later and it's like, well, you know what? I don't really feel like going on that hike anymore. It's just taken too much time to prepare. Well, these people, they didn't even prepare. They just dropped what they were doing and ran to be with Jesus. And now it was growing late. Their bellies were beginning to grumble. And the disciples recognized that they needed to get them something to eat. And so what does Jesus say? What's his response? Sure. All right, you're all dismissed. Go home. No, Jesus turns to his disciples and say, "You yourselves give them something to eat." What? You want us to give them something to eat? What are we going to give them to eat? We don't have anything to eat. And so they respond, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Shall we go into the surrounding villages?" Wait a minute, we just said they need to go in surrounding villages to get something to eat. "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii and then take all of that bread for this crowd?" Look at this crowd, Jesus. And bring all of that and have to carry all of that bread back to these people and feed them? There are so many people that even 200 denarii isn't going to be enough to feed all of these people. Well, one denarii was one day's worth of wages. And so 200 denarii is 200 days worth of wages. How much money would that be for you? I did some quick calculations, and it, of course, changes all the time, but in today's value, if you're making minimum wage at $7.25 an hour for 8 hours a day, 200 days worth of wages is $11,600. Do you have that kind of money? Did the disciples have that kind of money to go into the surrounding countryside and give to the people for the food? Would you carry around $11,600? Do we have enough money? We don't even have enough money to feed all of these people. And if we did, even what we were able to buy, 200 denarii isn't enough. There are so many people here. But Jesus is undeterred. He says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." So he sends the disciples away. He dismisses the disciples and continues to teach the people. And they move through the crowds and say, "Do you got any food? Do you have any food? Do you have any food?" And we're told by the Apostle John in his gospel that there was one young lad who had two fish and five loaves of bread. And that was all the food that the people had. The disciples didn't have any food. The rest of the crowd didn't have any food. Five loaves and two fish. And so when they knew, they said to him, five fish and two loaves. They reported back to Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He begins to prepare the banquet. He organizes the feast. He says to the people, to his disciples, command them to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks in hundreds and fifties. Go and make these people, gather them up into groups of 100 and groups of 50, and they're going to sit on the countryside. And soon all the green grass where they were was dotted with these groups of people sitting in hundreds and fifties and eagerly anticipating what's going to take place, what's going to happen. And so they sat down neatly in rows, organized, in order to make it easier for the disciples to distribute the bread, but also enable them to count the number of people who would eat of the bread. And we're told that Jesus then serves the feast. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. Jesus takes up those loaves. He looks up into heaven and blesses them. When he blesses them, it is used in this sense of giving thanks to God for his provision. And so he takes that bread and he breaks it. And he begins to distribute it to his disciples. In a few moments, we'll celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In a similar way, the Lord, when that bread is lifted up and that bread is broken, you are reminded that you are to lift your eyes beyond those elements into heaven itself, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you are to give thanks to God for that tremendous favor that he has shown upon you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus takes up that bread, he breaks it, and he gives it to his disciples. And they begin to distribute the bread among all the people. And remember what Jesus had said to the disciples when they first approached him and said, send them away, for there's not enough food? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you feed them. Well, what happened? The disciples fed the people. Of course, it was through the work of Jesus in providing the food and providing the feast. But exactly what Jesus told the disciples to do, that is what they did. And so as Jesus lifts up the bread and gives thanks, he gives you and me an example for what we are to do, that we are to give thanks for the provisions that God has given to us. And they distribute the bread. They give it to all of these people. And notice the response, or what happens. So they all ate and were filled. I love that. They all ate. They had enough food in their mouths. They had so much food that they were filled. They were satisfied. It just then, he didn't just take the twinge off of the hunger. No, they were stuffed. They were full. There was so much bread, there was so much fish left over that there were 12 baskets full of those fragments. You see, when Jesus prepares a feast, a banquet, there is an abundance of provision. When Jesus provides for his people, there is an abundance of provision for what you need at that time. And those that ate of the loaves were about 5,000 men. 5,000 men. And that didn't even include the women and the children. That's more than 1,000 men and women and children per loaf. And then there was extra of that bread. You see, Jesus cares for the physical needs of his people. But this is not a promise that you'll never know hunger and want. Remember the Apostle Paul, what he writes to the church in Philippi? When he says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that now at last your care for me has flourished. though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned that in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, this gospel, the gospel message, is not a health and wealth gospel. That just as long as you believe enough, if you pray hard enough, that you're going to have everything that you want. No, the Lord will give you what you need when you need it. And I'm amazed often at how the Lord makes that provision. Just when we think there is nothing that we can do, when everything is gone, when that oil jar is almost empty, the Lord Himself fills it up again. This is the Savior that we serve. You see, Jesus cares for the spiritual and physical well-being of His people. You've seen His spiritual provisions and the physical provisions. But this account seems to be a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. It is the only one of the miracles that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's an important one, for it begins to shift our focus on Jesus' ministry to the people at large, to His ministry among the disciples. Remember how this passage opens, that they were gathered together with Jesus, and they told Him what they had done and what they had been taught. They had performed miracles in the name of Jesus. And now, when the people are hungry and there was no food, their eyes are taken off of the spiritual things. They're no longer, when they say we need bread, they look at Jesus and say, send them away. For the only place you're going to find any bread is in the villages in the surrounding countrysides. You see, they forgot, or they did not understand, that the same Jesus who heals the sick can take and multiply these loaves of bread and feed this multitude of people. For you see, Jesus, in His ministry, works tirelessly for His people. Jesus continues to intercede for believers. Jesus continues to provide for you and me. Even now, Jesus is making intercession to the Father on behalf of all those who trust in Him. And Jesus, through the power of His Spirit, opens the eyes of the unbelieving to the glories of Christ. For you see, the greatest need that you and I have is the need to know Jesus and to be reconciled with God. This is what Jesus came to do. It is why Jesus came, so that you might know God and, trusting in Christ, might have eternal life. But if you do not know Jesus, then you might find external joy in things, but you will not find them satisfying. Jesus comes to you in the preaching of the word. He comes to you in the sacrament, that visible reminder of His death and resurrection upon the cross, in order that you might repent of your sins. You must not simply hear the words of Jesus, but you must heed the word of God. You must trust in Christ. Admittedly, this banquet that Jesus set before the people is not your typical banquet feast, yet it demonstrates Christ's ability to provide for His people. Jesus has gone before you and me, before those who trust in Him, to prepare a banquet feast like no other. He is in heaven preparing the place for you to be. Are you prepared for that feast? Will you be feasting at that feast? That's why Jesus came, that trusting in Him, you might join Him at that banquet table which He will set before you in eternity. Let's pray.